Hi everybody, we're going to go ahead and get started. Let's see. Today, thank you all for joining today's speaker series webinar, Intro to Responsive Design Using XAML. My name is Brianna Wise and I am the Program Manager for EIP. Before I introduce the speaker, I just want to touch on some program and webinar notes. We know that some of you joining today may not be in EIP, so we just wanted to take a quick second to invite you to join our program. The Ecosystem Insider program is a developer program with multiple benefits, such as invites to hack events and invitations to speaker series like the one we're doing right now. The partners in our program also have access to engineering teams, they receive guidance through multiple outlets, and our top partners gain exposure through our shared directory. And to get started, all you have to do is email eipcoms@microsoft.com. EIP also hosts hack events internationally, and those are small-scale events where partners have the opportunity to work one-on-one with Microsoft subject matter experts. And you can also see that we have other topics for speaker series that are coming up, so make sure you're on Yammer, and if you're not on Yammer, you can request to join our Yammer network, so you make sure you get invites for those. And also, if you don't see a topic that you are interested in, make sure to let us know what we're missing, and we'll try and get it in. And as a reminder today, everything you hear and see today may be confidential, so please do not share the information, take screenshots, etc. However, we are recording the speaker series today, and we will be sharing it on Yammer in the upcoming week. And also, for any Microsoft attendees on the call today, please make sure that your questions are, make sure that they're externally facing. So if you have internally facing questions, you can email eipcoms@microsoft.com, and then we'll be able to respond after the webinar. And everyone is muted throughout the entire call, so just make sure you're posting questions in the conversation box on the left-hand side of the Skype screen. We'll leave about 5 to 10 minutes for Q&A. And now I would like to introduce today's speaker, Nuno Silva.
So hello everyone, and welcome to the session on responsive design using XAML. So exciting stuff. As an alternate title, I like to think of it like this, is how do you adapt your app from the small screen to the large screen? So my name is Nuno Silva, as Brianna just told you. I'm a technical evangelist at Microsoft, which pretty much means that I'm much more of a developer than I am a designer. So don't expect this to be a pure design session, because it's not. So we'll not be covering design patterns, design guidelines, and all that fancy stuff. We will be focusing on basically techniques that you can apply on XAML to accomplish a responsive design. And by doing so, we'll cover a few features and new additions to the XAML platform that we introduced when we launched the Universal Windows Platform, or UWP, as I'm going to call it throughout the session. So I guess the first question is, why should you care about responsive design on Windows apps? And for Windows 10, you basically build your app using the Universal Windows Platform. And the premise of this is that you can build one application, which basically results in one single app package that you put on one single store. And that store is available to all these different device families, as we call it. So no matter if you're on the PC, on a mobile device, on an Xbox, on the HoloLens, or an IoT device, or even the Surface Hub, you have access to the same store, and your application can potentially target all these device families. It is a choice for you to specify which device families you want to target, but for the most part, this is a huge benefit that you only have to write your application once. So from a developer standpoint, this is great, right? So you only need to learn one set of core APIs. Your application will just work. You only need to maintain one code base. So for developers, this is great news. But for design, or even for any developer that is implementing a design in their application, it raises some challenges. Let's put it like this. So I would say that this is one area on Windows where we actually increased complexity, at least slightly. It's not that hard, and I hope you come out of this session with this impression that it's actually pretty easy to accomplish. But think about this. So You have everything from the smallest phone with a touch input to a very large PC monitor, like a 4K monitor, or with a device that only has mouse and keyboard input. And then you have the Xbox with controller input, and it just seems so very difficult on how you should think, how do I tailor my application for each device? So I always get these kind of questions. How do I optimize for a device? How do I find out which device I'm running on and optimize for that? And this is actually the wrong way to go about it. The way you should really think about this is that you should build one application, and that application should have a smart UI that knows how to gracefully adapt itself to whatever window size it's running on. And notice that I'm saying window and not screen, even though in some devices it's one and the same. So on the phone, your application will always run on full screen. But if you're running your application on the desktop, it's running inside a window, and the user can resize it at will. You can put some restrictions on what can be done, but pretty much he has full control. So your application needs to kind of be aware of this and respond to this gracefully. And so the way you should think about this is applying responsive design techniques to your UI, and that should be the bulk of your UI decisions. If you need to then pivot on something else, like what is the actual device family I'm running on? Is there this particular hardware capability on this device that I can take advantage of? You can do it, you can still do it, but the bulk of your design decisions should actually just be thought of I'm running this application and I have a Windows with this particular dimension and I'm gonna adapt my UI to it. So responsive design is actually nothing new, right? The web developers have been doing this for years now. It is kind of new in XAML, at least in the context of modern apps. And we did lack some features in XAML to make it easy to use or make it easy to accomplish this goal. But on Windows 10, we actually did a lot of work on the platform itself. So a lot of the challenges you're probably thinking about are actually taken care by the platform for you. So there's a bunch of stuff that you get from free. So this is just an example. So this is the code to invoke a menu flyout, or a contextual menu, if you will. On UWP, you can only invoke this kind of stuff by some sort of interaction, either a mouse click or a tap or a touch event of some sort. Depending on if we invoke this menu through a touch event or we did it with a mouse, you might get a slightly different experience. So the platform is able to provide this kind of intelligence on the built-in controls. So for instance, if you're doing touch, we basically increase the spacing between the items on the list so you have bigger touch targets, which we don't do if you have a mouse because it's a precision pointing device. So other really cool stuff, and this is just an example of the amount of work that went into the native controls on the platform. This is the pivot control that you probably remember from the phone. It's now available basically everywhere because it's part of the universal Windows platform. And it includes a lot of intelligence depending on the window size that it's running on. So this is the kind of same guidelines you should follow. So the pivot control, if it's running on a wide enough window that it can display all the headers, all the sections inside your pivot, it will just keep them in order and will just highlight the currently selected section. But however, if we're running this into a smaller window and it doesn't have space for all the headers, it will just place the current selected header on the top left, it will display it underneath, and you get into this the typical Windows Phone experience that you're probably expecting. So now you can swipe left and right and the headers will move and will animate as you switch between sections. So there's a lot of intelligence here. And even if you're running on this kind of window and you don't actually running on a touch-enabled device and you have a mouse, it will display this little button so you can switch between back and forth between sections. Another very interesting, and this is probably the most important thing that we do on the Universal Windows platform to enable you to write your design in an easy way, is that we apply some automated scaling to applications. So UWP applications are scaled automatically, and this is dependent on two things: the pixel density on the screen of the device and the typical viewing distance. So if you think about it, you hold the phone pretty close to your face, right? But you sit 10 feet away from your TV, and somewhere in between, here's how you experience working on your laptop. And so let's say you put a button that is 100 pixels wide by 100 pixels tall. It may end up that on the TV, it's actually 400 by 400, and on your PC, it's actually 200 by 200. And so we basically apply this scaling so that the perceived size of the control is always the same across all devices, even though the physical size is different. And the relative size of that button to the rest of your UI remains the same. This is a little bit complex. There's a bunch of documentation on how this is done, but this is a pretty cool addition to the platform and enables you to do some pretty interesting scenarios. This is not an excuse, however, for you to start putting fixed widths and fixed heights on everything and hoping it works well, because you will have really a lot of trouble implementing responsive design if you go that route. But think of things like font sizes. So if you put like a font size of 24, it will may look great on your phone. And if we didn't apply scaling, how would that work on when you're standing 10 feet away from your TV and running your application on the Xbox? So the scaling really allows you to kind of work independently of physical resolution, and it works really, really well. And I'll show you how that works later on. So these are some of the scaling factors that we apply, we can go back to this later if you have any questions. In terms of actual XAML features that we provide, there are three things that we're going to see throughout the demos that I'm going to show. Adaptive triggers are probably the most important one. It's pretty much the basic building block for building responsive design on XAML. There's also a couple of new controls that we're going to cover. One is the relative panel, and the other one is the split view. And instead of just explaining you what this is, I'll show you when we get to the demos. So in terms of responsive design techniques, we didn't come up with this. This is basic knowledge of responsive design on the web. There are basically six techniques that we call the six R's. They are resize, reflow, reposition, reveal, rearchitect, and replace. And we're going to cover each of these through a demo. So what I did is I built a sample that actually shows you how to implement all these techniques and how does that work on the context of an application that needs to be adapted from a small screen to a large screen or vice versa. So running to code and Visual Studio and all that kind of stuff, I'm going to show you this little application. So it has the basic recipes that I just shown you. Let's start with one that is actually not working because I disabled it, so I can show you what it's looking for. So this is a page made up of a few user controls. There's a flip view on the top that's switching between a couple of images, and we have some lists underneath with the different pictures on it. Notice that when I start dragging this to a larger size, it starts becoming quite silly on top because you start losing context of what the image actually is. So you may want to do something about this to improve the experience. And on the other way, if you go really, really small, like to what would be close to a phone format, you see that the lists below, they actually look well, but we might want to fit in more elements, or we might want to reduce the font size that is being applied to these section titles just because they are too big for this experience. So for this, we're going to use adaptive triggers, and I'm going to quickly show you on the code how this works. So this is about the flip view on top that is showing that those big images, and I'm just going to uncomment this little code over here and show you what we're doing. So basically, we're creating a visual state called wide, and we're using a trigger to basically set this visual state as active. And the trigger is just this. It's just something that sets a particular visual state as being active or not. And we include... Sorry. We include out of the box this adaptive trigger, which is really useful. And it has a couple of properties. One of these properties is the min window width. So the way you should read this is if the window width is currently 720 or up, then we're going to apply the changes that are inside this status section. And what I'm doing here is I'm basically changing, going to do my flip view, changing the max height. I could also change the height. It will be the same property on it to 420. For the lists underneath, I also have some visual states applied, but I followed a slightly different strategy for this. So in this case, I have two visual states. I have a narrow visual state and a wide visual state. And so the wide visual state that still starts from 720 and up doesn't apply any changes, so it just takes whatever is default on XAML as I defined it in my XAML code. But once we go underneath that, so the way you should read this is between 0 and 720, we're going to apply these changes. And one of the things that I'm changing is the container style of the list, so I'm making the item smaller, and I'm also changing the font size of the section names. And with these changes applied, now if you rerun the application, which should just take a second, you'll see that this is very easy to really accomplish something cool. Like right now, you see that the flip view is now bigger, right? And as we extend it, it stays the same. But once we start going down, when we pass the threshold of 720, you'll see that the flip view goes back to its default size that it had before. Also, the list items became smaller, and also the font sizes became smaller. So this is just one way of doing things. This is the resize technique for responsive design, so it's pretty simple. And we just use this feature called adaptive triggers, which, by the way, I think we're going to use on every single demo throughout the session. Coming back to the other patterns, we have the reflow pattern. So reflow is, well, it's about reflowing information. I guess there's no better way to put it. So some of the controls on the Windows platform already do this for you. So this is the grid view. I'm just displaying a list of news coming out of channel 9. And the grid view is smart enough to basically add more rows or add more columns depending on if it has or not enough space. So by default, the grid is growing horizontal, so it starts positioning items like top left and then this one and then this one. And then it decides it doesn't have more space, so it switches to a new row. So as I increase this, I should have enough for a four column and then a three column and then a two column layout and eventually just one column layout. And this is by default. I didn't do anything, so the grid view does this for you. It already does this since Windows 8, to be honest. And so it's a very simple kind of technique to apply a responsive design to a particular page with a very simple format, I agree. But if you want to kind of fine-tune this and make it a little better experience, there's one thing that I don't like about the grid view is that I'm looking at it and there's a bunch of wasted space. And the reason for this is that the grid view, well, we're not going to go into that right now, but eventually it has to fix on some fixed width and fixed height for its elements so it can't stretch. And that's the problem. So I have a lot of empty space on my application. So I decided to kind of go around this and see if I could enable a different experience. And so I came up with this advanced reflow. So it's pretty much what you see there before. That's just these images on the top. And you have the lists over here as well. Notice that now, however, as I'm raising, the lists actually grow and extend to occupy the screen. But eventually, when I find out that I don't have enough space, I go back to a three-column layout and a two-column layout, and eventually a one-column layout that just spans the entire width of the window. This is actually not a grid view. What I'm using here is four different list views placed in four different columns, so I'm doing this very manually, and I have to make some changes in my view model to make this work, but I'm pretty happy with the end result of the experience. Anyway, I didn't know about this, but I just found out about this very recently. There is this particular application that you can get from the store called the Windows App Studio UWP Samples that has the demonstration of some controls that we just released as open source, and you can get them as a NuGet package. And one of them is actually this responsive grid view that does exactly what I was showing you. So it allows you to reflow stuff, and the advantage is that you don't have to do any custom changes to your code. If you actually look at the XAML code, it's pretty much just using a responsive grid view, passing in your items and passing your item template, and it just works. So this is open source. You can check how the code is done. So you can grab this control, which is very useful to achieve the same objective that I did, but much more manually or much more automatically, actually, than what I did before. Going to the third part, which is really reposition, we need to kind of take a little step back and talk about something called the relative panel. And the relative panel is new to UWP. If you have ever developed for Android, you'll probably find this very familiar. It's very close to it. So the relative panel is another panel, like a grid or a canvas or a stack panel. But in this case, you basically place your elements, your XAML elements, inside the panel relative to its edges or to its center and relative to each other. So in the sense that you can say that a particular element should be at the right of, at the left of, above or below another element. And this provides you two things. First of all, it gives you a really intuitive way of building your UI instead of having to come up with a grid with a bunch of columns and rows and start placing stuff on the grid. So it becomes very simple to read your XAML. But also, it gives you this really nice set of properties that you can change on runtime using adaptive triggers, as we saw before, to basically define where the position of the elements are and how should they shift as we resize the window down or up. So coming back to my demo, which is this one. So if I go to reposition, I now have this highlight section on the left and this grid view on the right. And notice that when I start going down, you see some reflow happening. So these techniques are not to be used independently. That you can use a bunch of them at the same time. And eventually, I'll run out of space. So what I do is that I basically set the list to be below my highlight area. So as you can expect, this is very simple to do using adaptive triggers, but I'm going to show you the code anyway. It's pretty much doing this. So at a particular point over 940 pixels, I say that the pixel list should be at the right of the highlight. And when I go between 500 and 940, I switch to this that should be below, and I should align left with the panel so it really aligns well with the window. And I did one more thing on this particular page. So this will be the very close to the experience you have on the phone, except for very small phones, the window size will be even smaller, and I wanted to optimize a little bit for one-handed usage. So I include this little button that allows me to resize the window even down further to what would actually be a phone size. And when I'm doing this, one of the things that you may see is that I'm switching that command bar on top. I'm actually bringing it over here down so it's closer to your thumb. So I'm basically optimizing my application for one-handed usage when it's running on this. But notice, as I explained in the beginning, we are not targeting a specific device. We are not saying, oh, because we are on the phone, let's do this. What I'm basically only doing these decisions solely based on the window size or the window dimensions. Okay, let's continue. Let's put this on a reasonable size again. The next pattern is the reveal. In the reveal, we're going to use for the first time a new control that we have called the split view. And to kind of explain you what a split view without a lot of stuff going around on the screen, I created this little demo that just shows you what a split view is. So a split view is really a control that displays two areas. There is this pane area on the left, which is now filled with some stuff that I added, and there's this content area on the right. Now, the cool thing about the split view is that you can control whether the pane is open or not, and you can control how the pane behaves when we're trying to open it or closing it. So I put this little button that basically just controls if the pane is open or not. The button is not part of the split view, but as you can see, the split view is actually how we implement the hamburger menu style apps on Windows 10 is typically using the split view. And so right now the split view is on an inline mode, which means that when it's closed, the pane disappears, and when it opens, it actually pushes the content. So you see the content area kind of moves aside when the pane comes in. The alternative to this is to use the overlay mode, which now means that the pane flows on top of the content. It doesn't really push the content right. And then there are the alternatives for compact inline and compact overlay, which basically the only difference is that when we close it, we keep this little tiny menu bar instead of closing the pane completely. So this is a split view in a nutshell. It has four display modes. You can control everything like the width of the pane, the width on the pane when it's compact mode, whether it's open or not. Everything can be retemplated and refocused as well as you want. So I'm using this to actually create this little experience here. So this content in the middle, I'm basically reusing the same content you saw before. But in this case, I'm running inside this split view motion. And right now, as you can see, the application is running, the split view is running on the compact overlay mode. As I grow my application, I decide that I want to expand this automatically, and it's now actually pushing the content. So I'm basically switched through an adaptive trigger. I switched the modes of the pane of the split view to be in line and to be enforce the pane to be open. So as I start going down, we'll close the pane first, go into compact mode, and then eventually we'll start running out of space for having this social section on the right side. So we'll get rid of that, and instead we'll display this little button, which will provide a flyout with the same information. And even if I go down and more down, and even eventually I think I even do, yeah, if we even go more down to like a phone size, we get into this overlay mode where now the pane completely fills the window, and you can just call it an over, but you don't take space away from your application. So this is just cleverly using the split view, so you can really have a responsive design with lots of information in a very simple way. We're just changing two properties, whether the pane is open or not, and what is the display mode of the split view. Now, this one is a little bit more tricky, the re-architect one. Re-architect one is when you really need to do changes to the flow of your application because you can't really figure out a better way of showing this on a smaller device or on a larger device. So what we have here is a typical master detail view, right? So we have a little list on the left, and as we select items, we load the information about each item on the right. So how do we display this on a small screen? Because we clearly have no space. So instead of just showing you immediately, I'm going to go back and I'm going to resize the windows down, and I'm now going to go in again to the re-architect. And now what I see is that I only see the list. And when I click the list, I actually navigate to a different page. And I'm reusing the same content, but you can see I'm on a details page because I put this red label here just to clearly indicate that we are now on a different page than we were. And so now I can click back and select another item on the list and just go back and forth. So basically, I re-architect this so that when the window size is smaller, instead of just loading information on the side, I actually navigate to a particular page that displays this information. And it should be it, except we're running on the